Huh? Yeah, I enjoy the book. It's a real good book. I think studying the Word of God is a lost art. It's we tend to attack the Word in different ways, or we attack it in the darkness. You know, we just start randomly reading things, and then start randomly trying to pull principles out of stuff, and then we want to preach it. And then we start talking about the mouth of two or three witnesses at every word. You know what I'm saying? Be established. So you find three scriptures that say the same word, and you put them three together and think you got a message. It's a lot deeper than that, though. Studying the word is not so much, it's not like doing connected dots. You know, just drawing one scripture. You have to know the context of things. You know what context is? Who can tell me what context is? Context, come on, we're class, come on. This is not church. This is class, so, you know, hey, raise your hand if you know the answer. Who knows what context is? Nobody knows what context is. Y'all know what context is. Y'all just don't want to answer right now. Good and relax. Who knows what context is? Who knows? Good.
In the way that it's meant and how it's interpreted, what that means.
Right. How does it mean right there in that point? The particular thing about context is where it's positioned in the scripture. What scripture's before? What's after? All right, if you don't know these two things, a lot of times we like to take scriptures and just shoot them off and try to make a doctrine out of them, but we don't know what was going on. You don't know what he was talking about. You don't know who he was talking to, and you don't know why he was talking to him. We're going to talk about that a little further in the book, too. And so because you don't know those things, you really don't know that scripture. And then you're probably just quoting it because you heard Pastor such and such or whatever say it, and now you took it because you like it and you memorized it, and now you're trying to make a whole doctrine, but you don't even know the context. Everybody say context. Now the root word of that is text. You know what a text is, right? Huh? Come on, hey, man. You know what a text is? You know when you pick your text for your message, right? Your text, all right? So I like to do this. I took Spanish when I was in school just a little bit, so don't ask me nothing else further than hola and what I'm about to tell you right now. But I took Spanish, and the word con, C-O-N, always meant with. So, when I look at the word conform, I see form with. All this has to do with something like, when you see the word form, it's like form with. Like, be not conformed to this world. It's don't be formed with this world, all right? So now when I see context, it's what comes along with the text. So now if you pick verse 16, you better read verse 15. Right. And verse 17, or you're not going to get no meaning. Sometimes you need to start off at verse 1 and read through the chapter just to see. That's what it means to study, to show yourself approved. Just to read through to see what's really going on. Sometimes we try to preach a word and we try to take a text and preach that word and we don't really know what's going on. We don't know who Jesus is talking to. So how can you explain what he's saying if you don't know who he's talking to? How can you explain what he's saying if you don't know where he is? Is he talking to Jews? Is he talking to Gentiles? Come on, we got to ask these questions now. Or where is he in the city? Is it daytime? Is it nighttime? What's going on? Sometimes the Bible is very vivid. You got to use your imagination. Everybody say imagination.
Amen.
Put that down on your paper, imagination. You have to use your imagination. Use our imagination for everything else but the Word of God. Huh? The world, the Bible says the children of the world are wiser than the children of light. Why? Because they do things that we're not willing to do sometimes. They take our principles and use them, so they get your imagination in these movies, in these songs. They make it descriptive so that your imagination starts to click off, and then you start to feel what they're saying. You get all caught up into it. How many of y'all watch them little, the detective shows? You know, the Law and Orders and the CSIs. And y'all come on, First 48, right? Y'all ready to go watch it right now, huh? I understand. You watch it, they get you in there. They get the music going, they get you in there. And they get your imagination going. You're trying to figure out, whatever. So you're going to sit there. You're going to sit there and wait until you find out what's going on. Somebody walk in and start talking to them, you're going to tell them, shut up. What are you doing? I'm trying to find out who done it. Right? See, the Word of God, let me tell you something. I want this to be exciting. The Word of God can be a very exciting thing. It can be the love story that it is. Look, this is the best way I say it. And I say that I say the Bible is dope to me. I think dope in the street term means it's really, really good. All right? I think the Bible is awesome. I think, we get bored over it because of religion, because of tradition. The Bible said the tradition of men that made the Word of God. Huh? the traditions of men that made the word of God, that's a strong statement, of none effect. That means it's not really effective. It's not that the word don't have effect, but it's not effective to you because you're reading it traditionally. You read it because I'm supposed to read it. You read it because they told me this is what I got to do to get to know God. No. You know God, and it makes you read more about Him. See, the direction is different. You're not trying to get to God. You're already to God already. Listen to me for a second. Listen to me. How many of y'all born again? All right. You can shout about it a little bit. How many of y'all born again? All right, act like you're happy about it. Okay, I'm born again. All right. You're born again, right?
Yeah.
So the Bible says, all right, there we go. That's what I'm talking about. It scared me a little bit. So the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells well. On the inside of you, greater is He that is in you. You have overcome them, all of them, because greater is He that is in you. He is in the world. So if He in you, how are you trying to get to Him? Understand it. So I'm already to God. Come on. So I'm going to make your study different. I'm already to God. I've already made connection with the Father. My problem is I just don't know Him that well. I got to learn. Now, you're never going to get to know God. We're ever increasing. We're ever learning. You're never going to know all about Him. But the process of this Word of God, the Word of, everybody say the Word of God. Come on, say it again. The Word of God. The process of reading the Word of God is to get to know God better. You're already in relationship with Him. So stop studying and go on trying to read the Word to get close to God because you're already close to Him. When you read this Word, you become aware of who He is. Does it make difference now? Come on. Think about your study for a minute. It's quick. Think about your study. Now, this class is going to be awesome. Think about your study now. It changes your focus now. Now you're not doing nothing to please God. Many times we read the Word of God because we're trying to please Him for the day. We're trying to prove something to God. What you going to prove to God? Tell the truth. What is it that you got that you can do that can prove something to God that He don't know about you already? It's not a thing. There's not. You can read 22 chapters tomorrow and God going to say, now what you learned? Y'all get what I'm saying? It's always something. So now I'm already close to God. Come on, say I want to say like this. I'm already connected to God. Say it.
I'm already connected to God.
So now when I study, I'm not studying to try to get closer to God because He's on the inside. Are y'all with me? Now this is the Bible. So He's on the inside of me right now. It can't get no closer than on the inside of me. All right? So now when I'm reading this Word, I'm approaching Him and I just want to know you better. I want to become more aware. Your mind is an amazing thing. There's some things that you learned in your lifetime that you didn't know when you were younger, and you learned, and your mind expanded, and your mind opened up, and the capacity of your thinking opened up. You know, before you knew what 1 + 1 was, you didn't know it. There's just some numbers. Then we got to adding and subtracting, then multiplying, then dividing. If you're real deep, you got over in the calculus, and I didn't do none of that, and the algebra and all that stuff, but you get there like, no, I ain't doing it either. Because you get over there and your mind expanded to something that you did not know before then. There's places to God that you do not know Him in. That's what this Word of God is for. That's what living by the book is for. It's not your connection. Come on. I got to get that through your head. I want to say that in another class I'm teaching. Church will use another class. And the biggest thing I want to do is kill religion and tradition. I want to kill the old way we've been doing it because that old way ain't been yielding nothing. Tell the truth. Can we tell the truth then? Now, there's not lying class now. We really ain't been getting the results we want out. How long you been reading the Bible? Yeah, can we be honest? See, we don't want, throw the ego out the door. Let me say it first. I'm a teacher, all right? Let me say it first. I know I ain't been getting the results I was supposed to get before I started studying the Word, right? Let's just be honest. Let's not fake the phone. Don't fake it. Right? It is what it is. So now, if I ain't been getting what I'm supposed to get from it, and the Word, it's the Word of God. It said this Word was written by the inspiration, by men, inspired by the Holy Ghost. You know what inspired mean? It means in spirit. That means the Spirit is in it when it did it. So now, if this Word is so inspired, why am I not being inspired? Why is my life not being inspirited? Why are things dying all around me when it should be living? Y'all get me? So insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Listen to me. Insanity is doing the same way over and over again and expecting something different. You want something different, you got to do something different. You want a different result, you got to put something else in. You want to reap a different harvest, you got to sow a different. Do y'all understand that? So now when I'm approaching God, I'm already close to God. I've already been in connection. The moment that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, right then I'm in connection. It wasn't no to get to God. No, there's no religion. That's law. That's traditions of men. No. I'm already close to God. So now because I'm close to God, I'm connected to God. Now when I read, I'm reading more about who you are. And I'm becoming more aware. Your study time gonna change. Your study time gonna change. All right? I'm not reading for no text. I'm trying to get a message. Stop trying to read the word of God to get your message. I'll never forget this. I heard a pastor say this a long time ago, and I had to make it law. And God kept on reminding me this about this years ago and over in the years. He would read the word, and God would show me something in the word or take me to a scripture. And as soon as I get it, I start writing it down because I can't wait to preach it. He say, no. He says, that's for you. He say, that got to run through you first before you can tell somebody how to make it work. How you going to get the plank out of somebody else's eye? How you going to get the stick out of somebody else's eye? You got a plank in yours. Huh? How can we do it? So now, if I don't let this word run through me first, then I can't really deliver the text. I really deliver the message. It got to be, everybody say personal. Come on, say personal. This word has to be personal. You got to study this word and take it personally upon your heart. That I ain't doing it for nothing else but to get to know him better. All right? All those other things will come. Mm-hmm. When you get to know him better, it'll manifest in your ministry. It'll just be a manifestation of what is already. Your ministering amongst the people will be a manifestation of what already is in you. See, when I hear that one will preach, I understand there's no way you hear that man preaching. And I say that man with all respect, y'all forgive me. There's no way you hear him preach and not know that he's been in the closet with God. If I'm lying, I'm flying. Y'all know. When you hear him preach, you know he's been with God. So there's no question whether he show about the word. No, he know it because it's only his ministry to you. It's only a manifestation of what is in him. See, he don't get to study. He don't study to come and preach to y'all. He don't get the word. One, I gotta study real hard. No, I'm studying real hard every day. Why? Because my goal is to get to know God. So when I minister to others, I'm just explaining to you how I know God and how you can know him better. It's not really about, I'm not studying so that I can preach a good word. Come on, preachers. All right, we got to understand what's going on. Not so I can preach a good word. So I can know a good God. You understand me?
That's right.
All right, it's to know him. To know him. Everybody say to know him.
To know him.
Come on, say to know him.
To know him.
Philippians 3:10 say to know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. To know him. That's the goal, to know him. When I study this word, I'm doing it to know him. Not know a word, not know how to get healing. The healing will come when you know it. He's the healer.
Amen. Yes.
Get to know the healer, you get healed.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So know him. Everything is in him. When you study his word, you'd study it to know him. The enemy will trick you. Since there's been a trick over years. That you study to get a text. Well, there's no life in that because that's not the main purpose for it. It wasn't created that way. So now you lose it. And now you go study some words so you can be smarter than the other person. Right, come on, y'all. We know we do it. We do it. But we have several different reasons why we study the word. I'm trying to murder them all tonight.
That's right.
I'm murdering all of them.
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to kill all your reasons for reading his word other than getting to know God. If it ain't because pick up the Bible tomorrow and you read it, then question yourself. All right, well, I'm doing this. And if you're doing it, ask yourself. Ain't no better question than yourself. Ask yourself. And if it's for anything else other than I just want to know you better. God, where are you in this? Holy Spirit, reveal God to me in this. If that ain't the purpose, you lose it. We lose all the time. We approach his word in so many different ways. But it's all, God is a lover. God loves you. He wants to reveal himself more to you. He wants to show more things to you. He wants to show you more things about yourself.
Yes.
But you gotta come. Search the scripture, if in them you think you have life. John 5:39. Search the scriptures, in them you think you have life. But they testify to me, but you won't come unto me. He said you won't come unto me. What is he trying to say? The scriptures ought to lead you to me. But you'll never get to him if you never have the mindset to get to him. If you're never approaching it to get to God, not to get to God, now you're already close to God, but if you don't approach it to know more about him, then you won't get it. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Your approach is everything. Your approach, well, your approach is everything. How I approach you is everything. As a man, I can walk you and talk to you right now. Well, I can't come talk to you out. What's your name?
Janelle,
but I can't come talk to you. Come here, little boy. I can't do that because you're a grown man. You see what I'm saying? Now my approach to you determines what I yielded from you. You see what I'm saying? You ever had somebody try to call you out your name?
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody say, yeah. Well, they're not going to get too much friendly love of God out of you. They're not going to get it. Now you done got your defenses up. Now you're ready to fight. You don't know what you're going to say back. It ain't going to yield too much. Right? But your approach determines what you yield from who you approach. So how you been approaching? How you been approaching these scriptures? Let's just think about it. How you been approaching? Because if you've been approaching it for a text, that's what you're going to get. It's going to be dead. It's going to be that one scripture, and that's all you got. Ain't going to be no inspiration from the Holy Ghost. Ain't nobody going to get blessed. Some people in the church going to say amen because they might like your suit. But other than that, ain't no change going to happen. I done preached both ways. Can we be honest?
Yeah.
I done preached both ways. I done heard the amen because I was apostle son. I know what they was. I didn't feel nothing when it came out. Oh, no, you're just doing that because I'm apostle son. But I know when that word proceeds out. And it pushes out of your spirit. And it begins to attack different things in the atmosphere. I know the difference. And that just comes from a different type of relationship with God. I'm approaching to get to know him better. So my ministry is just an effect of that. You know, if I never preach another message, I'll study the word of God. Uh-oh, what about you? Uh-oh, we're going to say amen right here, right now, but uh-oh. If I never got a chance to deliver another word, if he said today is your last one, you're no longer the reverend. You won't give another message to another person over this pulpit. You gonna still study? Uh-oh, I ain't getting no amen like we screamed earlier. Oh, check yourself. Check y'all. Search me, oh God. Know me. Try me. Know my thoughts. Because it got to be that. It got to be God or nothing. It can't be because of that. It can get exciting. Being a reverend. No, I'm saying, no, I was just talking. He ready. He paying attention, boy. It could be exciting being a reverend. Let me talk to y'all preachers for a minute. Can I talk to y'all? It can be exciting. It can be exciting being a reverend. And it can, you know, uh-oh. Right? I know I'd have been there. I'm telling you. It ain't about that. To know him. Now, what'll happen is he'll start opening up, man, and it'll just be you and God. And God will start talking to you and showing you some things. And God will come in there right in the room where you at. And God will come and sit there with you and talk to you. Come on, y'all. He'll come sit right there where you are and just talk to you. For no apparent reason. Like, we ain't got to be trying to conquer the world. I just want to talk to you. Sometimes you just want to talk, huh? Right? He'll come in and just talk to you. And in the midst of the conversation, he'll start showing you things on how to do things. A lot of times we don't get the direction that we need because we approach them for whatever else. In chapter 2. Thank you, Lord. Chapter 2. I'm going to read a couple of things I highlighted. I'm just kind of going to plainly go through it, and then we'll just read some scriptures and see where we get to. I like in this first line, it says in chapter 7, I'm going to read the first line. In the last chapter, we saw 6 common reasons people do not dive into the study of scripture themselves. Let me add a 7th, and I highlighted this. Nobody ever told them what they gained by. Now, this may be some of your stories. You may have been told when you was young, you better read your scriptures. Huh? You better read your scriptures, boy. God gonna be upset with you. God not mad with you. Hey, God not mad with you. God is not upset with you. So stop that old stuff. God gonna strike you. Listen, God is not mad with you. All right? All God is trying to do is love you. That's it. Nobody ever knew what told him what they gained by. I jumped down to the next paragraph. I said, I want to suggest three benefits you can expect when you invest in the study of God's word. I like that, invest in the study of God's word. Y'all see that? Invest in it, which are available nowhere else. And frankly, they are not luxuries, but necessities. You need to highlight that. They are not, the study of God's word is not a luxury, it's a necessity. Do you know the difference between luxuries and necessities? A luxury is your air conditioning in your car. Huh? Thank you, Lord. And don't get to talking crazy, because the luxuries are there for you. Praise Him. All right, praise the Lord. All right. But that engine is a necessity. Yeah, you take the engine out, you ain't going to get no air. Ain't going to be nothing to push it. Ain't going to be nothing to make nothing work. Are you understanding? Necessity, luxury. So it's not a luxury. It's not something that you can just, it's extracurricular. I could take this class, but I ain't really got to take it to pass. No, you need the word of God. It is a necessity. Say it.
It is a necessity.
It is a necessity. In other words, if it's a necessity, it's not really a choice.
That's right.
It's not really, No. The day that you don't read is the day that you are out of whack. The day that you don't study God's word is the day that God may not have no direction for you that day. Not that He don't have it for you, but you ain't going to hear it. First Peter chapter 2, and I'm going to plainly read out. The Bible study is essential to growth. Say that.
Bible study is essential to
growth. It's essential to grow. Like newborn babes long for pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to what?
Salvation.
In respect to salvation. Now remember, salvation. Salvation is not just just about being Jesus in your heart, all right? That's the beginning of it. That's the course of it. But your salvation is your wholeness, your peace, your wealth, your health. Everything that comes along, everything that Jesus paid for is salvation. So now it's respect to all of that. So like newborn babes long for pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. I don't know if you know anything about a newborn babe. Anybody dealt with a newborn babe before? Anybody? Anybody ever been around a newborn babe? I'm around a newborn baby every day now. My little brother had a little baby. Then my brother-in-law, my son-in-law had a baby. Then when it's time to get milk, don't nothing else matter but get milk. You better stop what you're doing and get me my milk. And it don't sound like English, but they saying it. Get me my milk. They get frantic. They get to screaming. They get to hollering, they start pulling their hair, they start doing all this. Y'all know that, right? They do everything. I want my. So like a spirit, like a newborn baby. I gotta be to the point where I'm frantic. Sometimes they get frantic. They get, you watch them baby, they get frantic. You ever seen a baby get friendly before? Yeah, they get friendly. They start losing all equilibrium. They were smiling with you just a minute ago. But that clock hit, boom. I don't know where I'm at right now. They get friendly. Same thing we got to do. Come on. Like a newborn babe, go out to the milk. They got to get to the point to where, if you can go for a long time without considering the word of God, we need to recheck, reassess this salvation. If you can go a long time and don't look at the, or don't even in your mind consider what the word of God is saying, for me, I'm not saying I'm the example, but I be looking for the word of God all up in the air. I see two birds flying, I'm trying to see what the word of God say about the birds. God, what you saying right now? It should get to that point. We're going to start talking about the attitude, start talking about your pull for it, but like a newborn baby, you got to be frantic for this thing. It's almost like a thing for it. You gotta get addicted to it. I gotta get a hit. If I don't get a hit, I'm going off. I'm about to snap off right quick. You know that's the truth, right? Every time you snapped off on somebody, have you ever done it? Amen. Anytime, come on. I ain't never snap off on nobody. You lying. Now we got to talk about the word now. Every time you snap out, every time you're out of character, every time you say something out your mouth that shouldn't be said. Come on, church. Every time I get angry, my temper pop off, right? It's somewhere where that word of God, my son, thou art cleansed through the word of God. It's somewhere that word of God wasn't present, or you didn't present that word of God to yourself in order to be your best self. See, the word of God makes you your best self. Y'all want to write that? That ain't deep enough. Huh? Y'all want to write that one? Huh? That ain't deep enough. You know, I'm trying to find the deep ones for y'all. Understand? I'm trying to find the ones that's deep enough for you to write on your deep notepad. The word of God makes you your best self. So every time, my son, you're cleansed of the word. Come on. Thy word is lamp unto my feet, light unto my path. In this law do I meditate day and night. Then I'm going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Who shall bear fruit in the season, and the leaf shall not wither. And whatever I do will prosper. So if whatsoever I'm doing is not prospering, then there's something wrong with my word intake. Come on, it's simple. It's simple. This is what people don't want to do. People don't want to be real about stuff. It's simple. Look at what you got. Look at it right quick. Come on, look at your hand. Come on, look what, and I'm just using that. Look at what you got. This is what you got right here. And this is what the word say. Now, these ain't matching. So we're not going to change the word, though. Because the word is perfect. It's flawless by itself. So now I begin to make adjustments here. And then I become my... Oh, Lord. When I take this word in enough, I begin the word becomes flesh in me. You know the Bible said, and the word was made flesh in Jesus? You know Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. You know, we think about all these different miracles. No, he said, you're going to be just like me. You take that word in, and it starts becoming your flesh. You start taking on the image of Jesus, almost like the transfiguration. Remember transfiguration? They said when Moses went up there to see, they say his face started changing where he started looking like God almost. That word.
It's always supposed to be
changing you, make you look like Jesus. And then when it changes you, start making you look like Jesus. When you start looking like Jesus, then everything, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Right? At the name of Jesus, now really, let me say this again. I always say this. When they talk about the name of Jesus, I know we say name of Jesus. We think about J-E-S-U-S. Listen to me. When you say somebody's name, you're talking about their character. There's a certain character that I hold because I'm a teacher. There's certain characters that come along. There's certain characters that I have. There's certain facial characteristics I got because I'm a teacher. Are y'all with me? And there's certain characteristics that I have to carry, and I do carry. There's certain things that's in me that's because that's the character's name. There's certain things that I'm going to get to do because I'm a Thompson. There's certain doors that I can get into because I'm a Thompson. It's a character. All right? There's certain manners that I must uphold because I am a Thompson. It's a character in the name. So when you're talking about at the name of Jesus, we're talking about the character. Are y'all with that? Come on, y'all follow me. It's talking about in the character of Jesus. So at that character, so now when I take this word, the word becomes flesh. It's the same way it did with him. Same day when Jesus came and said the word became flesh, it's the same thing that happened. And now everything sees Jesus when they look at you. Are you with that? So now, what did Jesus mean that he didn't come? You name it. Everything up until death and death.
In the condition.
I understand.
Now, so there's not one thing he didn't. The lack couldn't stay with him. Sickness and disease couldn't stay in front of him. Confusion couldn't stay in front of him. They had people that didn't want to like Jesus. They had to like him.
As a slave,
don't want to like you. Begin to like you. When people that don't want to be around you want to be around. You know when Christians. When they find out you're a Christian, they get to talking different, and now they don't want to hang around. Now. They don't want to invite you to nothing. They know they want to drink or whatever they want to do, right? Or they don't want to invite you to nothing because she's going to be holy or whatever, right? Right? What did they start calling you and saying they won't be around you? There was something about Jesus. I ain't got time to go into this. But there was something about Jesus that caused the sinners to want to be around him. Now, it was the word. It was the word. It wasn't that church stuff. It was the word. Come on, y'all. Come on. It was the word. He was fully living. He was the live word of God. So all the love, all the compassion was in there. So you start to look like that. How bad you want to look like Jesus? Don't answer me right now, because I'm going to see it in your study time in the morning. That's what I'm really going to find out. Y'all give me the amens right now. What about your study time? What about tonight? First 48, or Isaiah 48, huh? Y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
I ain't trying to make a ritual. I ain't trying to make you feel bad or nothing, but I'm just saying, do you want to look like him or do you not? Like newborn babies get frantic. I'm looking for this word. The first one is next page, and I put a little note on the side of my book. I'll be writing in my book. I put a little note that says, "Except you become as little children." Remember, the Bible talks about that. I ain't got time to go. But except you become, you won't enter the kingdom. Except you become as a child. Except you become a child, like a newborn babe. Except you approach it like you're frantic for it. Remember, I told you last week, you should never approach the Word of God like you know it already. Don't ever approach it like it's normal. I don't care how long you've been reading them scriptures. Don't ever approach that scripture like it's normal, because the moment that you approach it normal, it'll yield to you normal. Are y'all understanding that? So now I got to be frantic every time. No matter how much milk that baby gets, he's always just as frantic the next time. I mean, it's almost like a replay. It's almost like, oh boy, you just had some milk a couple hours ago. He's frantic like he ain't never had no milk. They scream like they about to die. It's true, right? Scream like they starving. Like you just been treating them bad. You've been withholding the milk from them. That's how it's got to be. That's how it's got to be. That's how it's got to be. Three words to unpack the truth contained in them. I'm just write them in the margin, Bible, and all that stuff. The first one is attitude. Talks about being a newborn baby. We're talking about your attitude. How do you approach it? What's your attitude for approaching? Are you approaching it because you just, I just got to, are you really going after because you want? Attitude. Everybody say attitude. Next word is appetite. I'm in the second, next paragraph further down. Oh, do y'all see it? We said, but he also says a word about your appetite. Y'all see that line?
Yes, sir.
I highlight the word appetite for the word. And he says, you should long for it. You're to crave spiritual milk of God's word. You should crave it. You should appetite. What you got an appetite for? Some of y'all going to get here and leave here right now. You already know what you're going to pick up and eat when you leave right now. Because you got an appetite for it. And so you're going to drive to wherever it is to get what you got an appetite for. You're going to make it happen. You're about to call when we get out and see if they still open. Think about the things we do to get to some of the stuff that we want, right? Pretty much just hungry. Listen. Appetite. Everybody say appetite. Come on, say it again, appetite. Come on, say it again, appetite. You are to long for the word. Now, you're just not going to start longing for the word without having an attitude first. You got to adjust the attitude. You ever say, you need to have an attitude adjustment. You know, you talk to the young kid, you need to adjust your attitude a little bit. Who you talking to like that, right? Attitude adjustment. You just got to work on yourself. I got to work on myself. We got to work attitude adjustment. Cause maybe it's in our attitude. Maybe our attitude is not adjusted to the point where we really, really, really want it. All right, after we finish this class, this semester's over, I hope we're there. All right, I pray that we're there. Appetite for the word. I like the next line. It says, now to be honest, there's a cultivated taste. Y'all see that? It's a cultivated taste. I like these things. You said three types, a nasty medicine type. You ever had nasty medicine? You gotta take down your herb, trying to drink some water real quick or drink some juice. Cause it's just nasty. Everybody say it's just nasty. I don't wanna think about it. No, I need to take it, but it's just nasty, right? That's all about your attitude. To them the word is bitter. It's all about your attitude and your appetite now. And the shredded wheat. Anybody ever had shredded wheat? Ever had shredded? No, I ain't talking about sprinkling a little sugar on it. I'm talking about you had the shredded wheat by itself. I need some water now thinking about it. Shredded wheat. It's good for you. It is. But it's good for you. You know it's good for you, huh? You know the nasty medicine and the shredded wheat, both of them good for you, huh? But you just, I just don't want it. I just, it don't taste good. But the third kind we call strawberries and cream. Now, all this has to do with your attitude and your appetite now. All this has to do with your attitude now, how you approach it. You approach like nasty medicine, it's going to be nasty medicine. And I tell you how you approach the word, that's what you're going to get from it, right? Break it down in your mind. Let me go back to the beginning. Break it down in your mind that you're doing a duty for God. Get over that. You're not doing God a service by reading his word. God is all alone by himself good without you. You need him. It's not the other way around. You need a facelift, not God. You need to look different, not him. All right? So now you're not doing him a service. Are y'all with me? I need to break it down in your mind. I keep saying it for a reason. This is the old stuff we pick up. Old stuff we pick up. Come on, tell me the truth. Have you picked it up? It's old stuff we pick up. We're doing it for all. No. I want to know him better. All right? Now when you change from. That has everything to do with the nasty medicine, the shredded wheat, or the strawberries and cream. Strawberries might not be your thing. All right, what's your favorite food then? I know you like, well, I don't like strawberries neither. What's your favorite food then? Whatever it is with cream, whatever you like that's sweet. You like pies, whatever it is that you like. Whatever it is sweet that you just like to eat. That's what I'm talking about. All right? So go from nasty medicine. Now, I'm not saying it ain't going to sting. Sometimes. I'm not saying it ain't going to be hard to swallow sometimes. That shredded wheat, right? I'm not saying. That's what I'm not saying. But my approach is everything to do. You can really enjoy the word of God. You know, I'm about to say the craziest thing, but you can enjoy some of the whoopings you get. I enjoyed no whoopings when I was younger. Let me be clear about that. When I got whooped more than all my siblings put together. To this day, they don't believe it. My mama say no, but I remember. I ain't enjoying now one of them. Now, I said now one of them. I appreciate them now. You know, but you can get to the point where you enjoy these whoopers. You don't feel good if I'm doing it because I love it. Ain't that what they tell you? I'm whooping you don't love me. I'm whooping you because I love you. So you get over your attitude, your appetite, attitude, appetite, attitude, appetite. Attitude, appetite determines what you get from it. It determines how it yields to you, right? Right? If you approach it like the humdrum, oh, Lord, I got to do this again. And don't say you never approach it like that because you'll be lying right here and I'm about to cast that demon out. You know you didn't approach it. It may not be that drastic, but you'd rather get up and answer the phone. Or you'd rather get up and go eat first. You'd rather get up and watch whatever. It's just that nature, that beast that's inside of you, inside of all us, right? But you can develop. My father used to tell me. He said, good person, love God, you got, but you're not hungry enough. So you're not getting filled. They're hungry and thirst. Shall be filled. Shall be. Shall be. Shall is one of the strongest words in the English dialect. I mean, it got to happen. Yeah. You're hunger and thirst. He said, you're not hungry enough. I said, well, Lord, Dad, that's how I talk to him. He's my daddy. Can I, you know, don't look at me crazy. My dad. I said, Lord, I didn't say it out of my mouth. In my head, I said, Lord, Daddy. Let me be clear. I did not say it out of my mouth. I said, well, Lord. I changed my voice. Huh? I said, well, Lord, Daddy. We just preach, man. We preach, and all them people came to the altar call. You know, I sang one time, and you know, we got to the floor, and I believe the glory came in the room. It was years back, and we all everybody on the floor, snotting and crying. And we just running, and snotting and crying. And we just in the glory. Everybody just, we ain't have church that day. And we get in the office. We walk in, get in the office. And I never walked in with like I told y'all. I had that. I never did it. Never did it. Never did it. Never did it. I walk in. He look at me and tell me. He look at me and tell me. And I see what you need to do. You need to increase your anointing a little bit. I say, well, Daddy, come here, man. Like, I pray for the church. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. He said, you're not hungry now. He said, when you get to the point where you're hungry enough, you can't go without. He said, it's just like breathing. Inhale that word, exhale. Where's the next one? Because if I don't, come on, inhale, come on, everybody. Come on, because if I don't get that, what happens if you don't get that next breath? You start choking, huh? Huh? What happens, somebody? You don't get that next, oh, it's about to be a problem. You're going to start getting the fighting and screaming and kicking. It's like, I need the next breath. I need the next word. If I don't get it, what's wrong? I need it. Are y'all with me? No, but I'm serious. I need that next. Where's that next word? I need. I got to be hungry enough. I got to want it more than anything. There's something that happened to me last year. I don't know what did happen. And I'm not saying I'm there. I probably need to get more hungry. But if something happened in my hunger, appetite, I was riding on the plane with my dad and I started reading about Jesus, which I'm about to talk about in a second. I started reading about Jesus, and I re-fell in love with Jesus. Not that I wasn't in love with him already, but I saw him differently. And I couldn't get him on my mind. From that moment until now, I'm constantly thinking about, what would you do right now? I'm trying to find him in the grains of the ground. Like, I'm trying to see what you're saying. You can ask him. I work with these guys, and sometimes I got to tell myself, shut up. Because I'm like, see? I was holding a box the other day, a food box with my iPad on top of it, and I got a revelation. I'm not going to go into it right now, but I got a revelation to come in and start preaching it. Preaching to my captive audience. We had to work together. I start preaching it because I'm looking for him. I'm looking for him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I'm looking for him. I'm looking for him. Now, I ain't walking around my Bible all around like this every day. I can't do that because I got to look around. I got to drive. I got to do other things. I can't be sitting there with the Bible like this all the time. But it's going through my head. What happens is that it'll come up. See what happens is the Holy Spirit don't really have nothing to bring up in you if you ain't putting nothing in you. He can't bring no live word for you when you ain't put the regular word. He can't start your car. He can't start it up for you. He can't put life in it. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
So you got to put something on the inside. So it's on my mind. Let me tell you. Let me get a key. He started talking about serving Jesus. Serving Jesus. He said you'd be a servant of Christ, right? Right? But instead of being a servant of Christ, I want you to serve Christ. I want you to serve like Christ. I want you to serve as Christ. You should serve as Christ. You should serve just like him. You give him. You serve just like him. We're too busy trying to be a servant of him, and we're not letting him be us. So you know the Bible says, I'm crucified with Christ. You know what that means? You got to die so that he can occupy. Huh? Listen to me. You got to die so that he can occupy your being and become who you are. So you got to die. You know what I'm saying? You die, you give up the ghost. You know what I'm saying? You die, your spirit leave your body. Right. So right now, you got to crucify. You're really talking about crucifying. You're crucified so that he can enter in and occupy you and become who you are. You got to die. This word going to kill you. You know, the word is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. What a sword made for? The sword wasn't made to look cute. You know, we buy them little swords and put them on the mantelpiece right now. You know, the little cute little swords we be buying, the little dull ones, though. You know, we think, no, the sword was made to cut you. The sword was made to slay you. It was designed to kill. So now the word gonna kill you. We're gonna cut you up, gut you, and kill you till you die. And it's not till you die can he occupy. It's not till you die can he resurrect on the inside of you. You know, I'm going to say this, then we'll be done, because I'm not a... the scripture says, I don't know if I got time to go there, and I ain't going to go there.
Yeah, one more minute.
Okay, I'm not going to go there. Listen, The scripture says, and the word was made flesh. Y'all know the scripture. Y'all can find it for yourself. We're going to study. We're going to study in class. When you come back, tell me where it's at. The word was made flesh. Talking about in Jesus, right? So if I'm living by the book and I'm living by the word of God, right? Living by the word of God, and I got to, and the word was made flesh, and I got to live by Jesus. How often you study by Jesus? Uh-oh. How often you be in them gospels to see what Jesus said? You know, I appreciate Paul. I appreciate Barnabas. I appreciate all the rest of them. Thank God for all of them. I like Elisha. I like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm Moses. I'm excited about Noah and all of them. But Jesus is the one. They say everything before Jesus and everything before Jesus was pointing to him and everything after Jesus pointing back to him. They say everything before Jesus was a shadow of Jesus Christ. Come on, y'all can say your words. Say your words. So now, but I got to. They don't say that about nobody else but Jesus, that the word was made flesh. He the only one that it said that about. So now I really need to find out what he's saying. So when I get to them red letters, I need to study them red ones. I don't need to skip over them red ones. I need to stop, pause, say loud, calm, think about this. I need to see what these red letters mean. Sitting there reading the red letters, and Jesus started talking to him about a blessing of the meek in heart. And he started talking about if they slap you on one cheek, turn the other one. What? If they ask you to go a mile, go two with them. If they ask you for your coat, give them your cloak too. Then he says, agree. Listen, I'm going to give you this when we go. He said, agree with your adversaries quickly when you're in the way with them. You know, you never read that one. Huh? You never read that one. Huh? But it's in your Bible. Agree with your adversaries quickly when you're in the way with them, lest they be offended. He said, then they're going to deliver you up to the judge, and he's going to deliver you up to the prison, and you ain't going to get out easy. Can I give you a cue, a quick cue? Can I give you a quick cue? We're going to talk about it. Y'all can study it for yourself, all right? I'm going to leave you with this one. That was John the Baptist's word. If John the Baptist would have listened, his head wouldn't have got cut off. Notice after Jesus started talking like that, I have fun with this. I have fun with the word. Y'all got to read the word. Man, come on. Get your, everybody say imagination. I got to go. You got to use your imagination. Listen, y'all start reading this word, you ain't going to get enough. You start reading it like this and start reading it for ritual. Start reading it because what you got to do. Man, I start reading this story, and I realized that Jesus started talking like that because John said before, who told y'all to come over here and get baptized? Who told y'all vipers? Come over here. Who told y'all to come get free of y'all sins? Oh, but the one coming after me, he going to purge the flow with you. Come on, y'all know it, huh? Purge the flow with you. He's going to purge the flow with you. Then he baptized Jesus. Dove come down. Everybody seen the dove? Did you see the dove? Everybody knew he was the one because the dove came and landed on him. Right. But then Jesus come up out that water and start talking. Turn the other cheek. Won't you go a mile, go two with him. Won't you coat? Give your cloak too. He starts saying, you know, be meek and all this stuff. But John in the back like, hold up, because I told him you're going with fire, you're about to bust their head. But it didn't sound like Jesus was busting their head. He was busting their head, because you really bust people's head with love, boy. You get them with love, but it didn't look like it. So you notice you don't see John following Jesus nowhere. Come on, read your Bible. No diss on John, no disrespect to John. John did his job before Jesus got there. But John should have submitted. You know that was little cuz, though. Yep. God bless you all.